tell me a little bit about Area 51 TD and your involvement with that area.
Well, it started out for the U-2 plane in 1955. We needed to develop the spy plane to see what the heck was going on in Russia. We, you know, the Iron Curtain, it hadn't been put up yet, but they'd closed their borders, and we just frankly was scared to death of what was going on. We was in an arms race, was in the getting into the nuclear field and this sort of thing, and we didn't know what our enemy was doing, so we decided to build a spy plane. Lockheed got the contract, and the government decided the CIA should be the one to do it because they, the Air Force, one problem with the Air Force was they rotate their people, you know, every 2 or 3 years. They're not permanent, whereas the CIA, you could work there an entire career if you wanted to. So anyway, the CIA built the U-2 spy plane, had Lockheed build it, and it was quite an engineering feat. We built it in, from the day they signed the contract to the first flight was 10 months, and we were $30 million under budget, and that's unheard of today.
It sure is. Now, the area of Area 51, it's in southern Nevada now.
Yes.
Right? And how many areas of that section are underground?
None. They're absolutely in the Groom Lake area. At least at that time, there was absolutely none. In fact, it was very barren. We didn't even have a water well, or we moved in some trailers to stay in. It's just very, very primitive.
And I had heard the workers would get flown in from different areas. They'd work there for a while, then they'd be flown out again.
Yeah, this is true. Initially, anyone working out there other than the CIA security people and the communications people, which was just a handful, and later on my team, we were 23 of us in these special projects. We were cadre out there. We were the only ones that were allowed to live in the state of Nevada. Anyone else doing anything had to live out of state.
Who opens it? Who controls it?
It was controlled at that time. It was the CIA. From 1955 up to 1979.
All right, so it was really clandestine.
Yes, very, very much so. We and we developed the U-2 plane, and I think it flew out. It left the base about 67, and the 57, and the base actually became just a dusty camp, and. You know, they're still exploding atomic bombs within 8 miles of the base, and they would evacuate the people, as they exploded the bombs when it was that close. And as soon as the fallout cloud moved over the base, we'd come back in and go back to work, dust everything off, and if it shattered any windows or anything like that, fix them, and there was thought nothing of it.
Why do they call it Area 51, TD? It makes you think that there's an Area 50 somewhere, or 49.
Well, I think that comes from a designation on the map. But frankly, George, back then, we didn't call it Area 51. Initially, it was called Watertown. That was the because that was the name of the town the CIA director was from, in New York. A-12 people moved in. When we moved in with it, it became Paradise Ranch. That was Kelly Johnson's joke for making it sound like it was something that it was real desirable to work at. But we just didn't call it Area 51. In fact, no one really knew it existed. It wasn't talked about at all for, probably till after the Air Force took over. And that's when the word started getting out and that there was a base there.
Was it built in secrecy?
Not really. Not as much as you think. It was publicized in the, I know Channel 8 run it. I think the RV Review Journal had an article on it. And initially, the base wasn't so secret. It was just what was going on there was secret. And later on, they did, kind of clamp down. But we had a softball team that was named the 51s. We'd advertise in newsletters and stuff that the 51s were playing the guys over on the atomic bomb side. And it wasn't that big a secret in that respect.
When the workers would come and go, TD, were they checked? Did anybody search them or anything like that?
Not not, you know, physical searches. We all wore security badges, and you was on a manifest, and the security was very tight. You didn't get in there unless they knew exactly who you were. And, of course, there wasn't that many people at that time. You know, it was pretty easy to keep track of who all was there. And but you were checked before you left the, like if you were leaving out of Burbank or someplace, you'd have someone checking the manifest that you couldn't get on the plane unless your name was on the list, and you had to have your badge. And then when you got on the other end, the security, CIA security would meet you at the plane, and they'd check you when you got off the plane.